Good morning. I'd like to once again thank the organizers, the wonderful program, who have asked me to share a few thoughts with you. The title of the talk this morning is called Heroes. It's only because I couldn't think of anything else to call it. But I don't know if it hit the English press, but about a month ago or so in the United States, the press were lamenting the death of a modern-day hero. And they were lamenting the death of this hero because of the long illness and the struggle and the way that people identified with this figure. People wrote, people were crying, people were speaking out. It took up quite a bit of time in the radio talk shows. I also even heard that on the New York Times online edition, there were well over 1,000 comments that were written about this particular article. So you might think that, you know, who already are we talking about? This is a figure where I was already thinking that the United States was going to declare a national day of mourning. And it turns out that this figure was an individual or a thing referred to as Barbaro. Heard about Barbaro? Barbaro was a horse. Funny, right? Barbaro was a horse. Who is this horse? Barbaro was a horse that won the Kentucky Derby. So the Kentucky Derby is, I guess, the American equivalent of Ascot. You don't have to exactly wear the hats or the tails. But it's a very big, fancy horse race. And this horse won over $2 million in prize money in a single race for its owners. And you should have heard the way the people were talking about this horse. It's a horse. It's not a person. They didn't go out and they didn't cure cancer. We still suffer from the common cold. This person didn't, this figure didn't have the basic idea of anything beyond the oats that it was sowing and the oats that it was eating. Right? It's a horse. But the entire American society was taken by a horse. So we laugh, and we find it amusing. But unfortunately, in a society that not only we find ourselves not only revering four-legged horses, but we also revere two-legged horses as well. And if they would only sit for a moment and they would think, really think about what they are referring to, what they are talking about. At best, you know, they would be embarrassed, but really they should be disgusted with themselves. In the American society, I can't speak for England, but I'm sure for England it works the same. I'm sure, I know it works the same. But somehow we want to be able to separate our public lives from our private lives. We've had presidents in the United States, figures who have done things in private, and the press are saying, no, but it's such a wonderful president, it's such a wonderful leader. What do the moral values of this individual actually, what effect, what difference does it make to the way that they could lead a country? This is a society. Rabbi Gamliel, we know that would not allow a student in the Beis Medrash unless he was toichoi kibaro, which means that the inside of the individual, the personality of the individual, what they do behind closed doors, was represented exactly. It expressed itself, but perfectly, in the actions that were visible to the public as well. Toichoi kibaro. Toichoi, the inside kibaro was just like the outside. So the question is, why do we have a society? Why do we live amongst people who truly don't recognize what holiness is? They don't recognize what specialness is, and we can revere the two-legged horses, and we can revere at the same time the four-legged horses as well. So I think that there are a couple of reasons. Number one, because you have a society that doesn't recognize the mila, the advantage, the loftiness of its tzelem Elokim. They don't appreciate that we were created in the image of the Almighty. I, not too long ago, moved to a city called Norfolk, Virginia. Norfolk is famous for many things, besides having the same name as an English town, famous for other things as well. And they're the headquarters of PETA. I don't know if you're familiar with PETA. PETA is it's an organization, the Protection of Ethical Treatment of Animals. I don't know who, it's difficult to know exactly which one is the animal. Because the moral equivalence that these people have, or they say show, between animals and human beings is unbelievable. They are willing to blow up and destroy and maim people in order to save animals. There's a Babustapi Kurs in the United States by the name of Dennis Prager. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. Babustapi Kurs. He's a Yid. He can't be an Apikurs if you're a Goy. Mom is an Apikurs. He grew up in a frum home. He's an Apikurs. But brilliant, incredibly brilliant. And the topics that he discusses on his radio program, look, they're amazing. I once was forced to go to a lecture when I was in Phoenix, Arizona. I was over there because of political situations. He came in to speak, and you should never be put in such a situation. But I went, and he told a phenomenal story. He said that he was once sitting on a plane, and they brought out his kosher meal. So he's from where he wants to be from. It's like he drives to Shul on Shabbos, but he won't listen to the radio. You know, that's sort of a... So he says that he's sitting there, and the lady next to him says, of course it was the 1.5 ounces of maybe it's not even fleshig sort of meat that you get wrapped up. You know, here in England, Baruch Hashem, everybody knows hermelis. It's a wonderful thing. I'm related a little bit to the owners, but my brother-in-law. But in the United States, we don't have such delicacies. And you know, Yamamish, it's a shy, it could be like buckled, I don't know what it is. So he's pulling out the meat, and the lady looks at him and says, "You're not going to eat that." He says, "Of course I'm going to eat that. What do you think? I'm just opening up for my health." Yeah, I guess he was. But of course I'm going to eat it. So he says, but it's an animal. Do you realize they have to kill a living thing in order to make sure that you eat? So he said, so let me ask you a question. If this plane crashed and you were sitting next to your child and your pet, and we're in the water someplace and everybody's drowning, who would you save first? Your child or your pet? And it's quiet. And he looks at her and he says, "You're quiet? Why are you quiet?" She says, "Don't rush me, I'm thinking. We don't recognize that there's a Tzelem Elokim, that we were created in the image of the Almighty, that we have the ability to be greater than the Malchei Ashoreh, because we were created with Bechira. We live in a society that does not appreciate a Tzelem Elokim. Number two, we live in a society that has lost all connection to the values of home, to the values of love, the values of loyalty, the values of modesty." Once I had a congregant that asked me, a number of years ago, wasn't a firm person, but he was a very, very nice person. He came to shul every single day. He learned, started to keep a little bit of kosher in his late years. I mean, he was in his 70s already when he started becoming a Baal Tshuva. And he said to me, "Rabbi, why don't you have a pet? Like, but from Olam, we really don't have pets." So he thought I was being funny. I wasn't. I said to him, "Because I have children." So he was laughing, huh? You know, like he thought I was saying that, you know, I have children, I have to clean up after children, I have to feed the children, I have to take them out for a walk. Right? So no, you don't understand. I said to him, "Because why do people need pets? People need pets because they want love." I said, "I don't need a pet to show me love because Baruch Hashem, I have a wife and I have children. People want loyalty. I don't need a pet because we teach loyalty in the home. I don't need to show my children responsibility because they have younger children at home. And they have younger brothers and sisters, and they have to take care of them, and they have responsibilities." People who are not from are always amazed at the way that older children take care of younger children. And by uns, it's pashut docha pashut tazah. By us, it's simple. Of course it's like that. Why? Because that's not because we're training them, and that's why we have children, so we could have like this, you know, unpaid workforce. Not like that. We're teaching responsibility. We're teaching loyalty. We're teaching what it means to live a life of Kedusha and Tahara. That is how we bring up our children. We don't need pets. You don't need pets. So I think number one, the reason that we live in a Zah society is the reason that we revere animals in our society today Number one is because we don't appreciate the mile of Atzelem Elohim. We don't appreciate the mile of being created in the image of the Almighty, and therefore everybody is the same. You could be four-legged, you could be two-legged, you could be famous, you can be on every billboard, but Lamaisa, we revere animals because we don't appreciate that there's a Atzelem Elohim. Number two, the second reason is because the values in their society are so corrupt. They don't understand what a home is anymore. They don't understand. You know, I got to tell you, when I figure, you might think that this is funny, but when I walk around with my children, I take them out. I want to start wearing a wedding ring. We don't wear rings. I want to start wearing the wedding ring. Why? Not that I'm going to. Because I'm pushing embarrassed. People think I'm a divorced father. Really, people say, oh, you know, you said, people think that you're not married because you're taking your kids out and outing. Your wife is doing whatever she's doing. You're taking your kids out shopping. You're buying shoes. Obviously, you must be a single parent. They don't even realize that you could be taking your children out to buy shoes because they need shoes for Shabbos, Yom Tov, school, or whatever it may be. They don't realize it anymore. It's so broken that the pashtus is that the house is a broken house. They don't appreciate loyalty. There's no such thing as loyalty. Real love, there's no such thing as love. Love today is like a business arrangement. As long as I'm getting something out of it and you're getting something out of it, we stay together. Cole's mine, I'm not making a profit anymore. I'm going to go look someplace else. I'll take my business in another place. We don't have these values. So therefore, we can revere animals. People, why do we revere? Why does society revere people who are momage, the low lives? I don't even have to tell you the names of what I'm referring to here, but just the lowest of the low. It's more interesting people how many times they were in rehab rather than how much time they spent giving like donations to the poor. Why is that? So again, I'm just sharing with you my own thoughts. Then we'll get to the Dvar Torah in a second. Because the natural flow of this world is self-preservation, and to work is to have as much comfort as possible. And we look at these individuals, and they have preserved themselves. For generations, they're going to be famous. We're going to hear about them. We're going to hear about their music. We're going to hear about their movies. We're going to hear about other things that they have done. Well, there's self-preservation there. Number two, they don't have to work anymore. And it would be geschmack. We think about ourselves, oh, what is our, finally you retire, what do you want for yourself? So Baruch Hashem, we live in a society where we say, what would I want? I'd pick up, I'll move there, I'll go into a base medrash, I'll sit and learn. Hopefully I have enough money to spend part of my time doing chesed and getting involved in some sort of a charitable organization. That's what we hope for ourselves. What do they hope for themselves? Their vision is a beach in the Bahamas with a hammock. One of those fruity little juices with an umbrella. If it doesn't have an umbrella, it doesn't count. Right? It's got to have an umbrella. And it's like, I always ask these people, what's going to happen? So you're going to have your perfect society. You go to sleep and you wake up, there's no chocolate's not fattening anymore. No one ever gets sick. Everybody's wealthy. Everybody has exactly what they want. What happens the next day? So you've accomplished everything that you want to accomplish in this world. What happens the next day? You get up and then what? By even it's not like we're not trying to make this world perfect. They're trying to make this world perfect. We understand this world is only a stepping stone to another place. So two reasons. We revere, society reveres these people, number one, because we don't appreciate it, Atzelem Elohim. And number two, because we like the fact that they're wealthy and they don't have to work for a living. And society says, oh, that's exactly what I want to be. I don't want to have to exert myself in order to have what I want. So what's our definition of a hero? That's their definition of a hero. It's four-legged. It's two-legged. So one of the mitzvahs to call Yisrael was mitzvah when they came into Eretz Yisrael was saying, Tosim Alech HaMelech. Derech Agav, in all of Tanakh, we never refer to as Eretz Yisrael, by the way. It's always referred to as Eretz Kanan. And that's not an anti-Zionistic remark, Chas V'Shalom. Just a fact. And the Shulah HaKadosh says the reason that it's never called Eretz Yisrael and it's only called Eretz Kanan because Kal Yisrael has to realize that it's Taka Eretz Kanan. It could always be taken away from us. It's only our Tolion and our Tchusin. The more merits we have, the ability we have to stay, we have the ability to stay there. But if we don't have the Tchusin, it can be taken away. It's not Eretz Yisrael by definition. Shlach Kodesh. So Yitostim Alech HaMelech. So what was a Melech? Melech wasn't just a figurehead, wasn't just a statesman. But according to Divrei Chazal, the Melech was the model citizen. We were supposed, the relationship that we had with the Melech, with the king, was supposed to teach Klal Yisrael how we were supposed to act with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's a Melech. Who was a Melech? Melech was an individual who had to walk around with the Sefer Torah at all times. Can you imagine? So we walk around with our little Tanakh, right? So we put in a bag and another bag because we're remembering Machmud on Kisvot HaKis, so when we go into the bathroom, so we don't have a problem. Right? So we're walking around with something. But he had a Sefer Torah with him at all times. So the Rambam lists the different places where the Melech was not allowed to carry a Sefer Torah. The obvious places. In the bathroom, bathhouse. There are places, bathroom by us is toilets, right? There's some place that Melech was not able to take a Sefer Torah. But wherever he went, he had a Sefer Torah. He was reminded of his relationship with the Almighty at all times. That's our definition of a hero. And the covet that we had to show for a king was without question and was unlimited. A Melech was not allowed to be moichel on his covet. Melech shemochel al kvoidei, ein kvoidei mochel. A father who is moichel on his covet, who forgives child who doesn't act properly to a son doesn't act properly to a father, even though the son is chayiv misa. But an av shemochel al kvoidei, kvoidei mochel. If the father wants to forgive a child, he's able to forgive a child. A king, on the other hand, is not able to forgive. He was chayiv misa, and Bezdin had to take him out and he had to kill him, even though the king was hoping that somehow he'd be able to forgive him and he'd be able to continue. But that this is our definition of a leader. This is our definition of someone that we revere. The Gemara says that Shnei Panosim Toivim Hoyulem LeYisrael, Moshe VeDavid. There were two great leaders that Klal Yisrael had. One was Moshe Rabbeinu, and the other one was David. Both of them were the beginning of Malchus. Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of a Melech, as it says explicitly in Chazal. And we know that David HaMelech is David HaMelech, was the beginning of Malchus, was the beginning of royalty within the Jewish people. And these two individuals, they were their Parnos and Togum. They were the good leaders. They were the heroes of Klal Yisrael. They were the people that we look up to. Why were both of these individuals chosen to be kings? So Chazal used the same reasoning, because they knew how to care and act towards the fellow Jew. They both were shepherds. They both cared for something that could not give them back thanks, that could not repay them, could not show them love, could not show them care, but they were able to care for someone outside of themselves. Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech were both shepherds. The same reason. This was the reason that they were chosen. Because that, hey, they had that mila of being selfless. And this is a midah that Klal Yisrael look in their gedolim. Klal Yisrael cannot tolerate when a gadol appears as if they are preserving their own honor and they're not looking out for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael resent it when a gadol appears as if they are preserving their own honor. Klal Yisrael resents fakes. Klal Yisrael look for an Odom gadol, they look for their leader, they look for their heroes who are taka toichai kibari. The Gemara says, the kol Talmud Chochem, she'eino toichai kibari, eino Talmud Chochem. Any Talmud Chacham that is not Teichei Kibara, that his inside is not like his outside, which means the way that he acts with the same way that he shows Yerushamayim on the outside has to be the same Yerushamayim that he has on the inside. If he doesn't represent himself in that manner, if he isn't Teichei Kibara, he's not a Talmud Chacham. So where do we know this from? Yesterday's Parsha. Because we see that the Oran was Mitzupah, right? It was inside and outside, both painted with gold. The Oran looked the same on the inside and on the outside. The same gold that was on the inside was the same gold that was on the outside. But the Zelt Frechta Tasha. Everyone asked the same question. The way that we refer to the Oran is not an Oran that was Zohov, an ark that was gold. The way that we refer to the Oran, it was Atzei Shittim. It was wood. So if that's the case, how can the Gemara bring a raya? How can the Gemara bring a proof that Kol Talmud Chacham Sheina Teichei Kibare is not a Talmud Chacham from the Aron? The Aron itself wasn't Teichei Kibare. The Aron itself was, the inside was wood, and the outside was gold. It's not Teichei Kibare. So the way that we understand the pshat simply is because the Teichei Kibare that we are referring to, the inside and the outside, is the gold that was on the inside and the gold that was on the outside. But I heard a pshat from an Odom Godel Mamish in Yerushalayim. He's in Yerushalayim, he's an Odom Godel Mamish. And he said that the raya is not from the fact that it was painted gold on the inside and the outside. The raya is from the fact that it was atzeshikim on the inside. What does that mean? That means that a Talmud Chacham who is the plain atzeshikim, Adam ke'etz hasod, a person is like the tree, the wood of the field. That same individual, you can put a strimal with a golden akas on, an amazing garcel, right? Or you can put a frock and a hamburg on him. You can put a gold inside and outside. But the bottom line is he has to be Teichei Kibare. That means that the external trappings that we get caught up with do not make the mensch. It's what really, that it's the mensch himself. It's the atzei shitim, it is the wood that is inside the individual, that is the Teichei Kibare. Person has to be the same individual with the hamburg or without the hamburg, with the garth, whatever you want to use, right? A person has to be the same, that can't define the mensch, it can't define the individual. What has to define the individual is the Torah which is inside that person. That's the Teichei Kibare. Kol Talmud Chacham Sheina Teichei Kibare, that means you can have the gold on the outside, but if the inside is not the same as the outside, so that's not a Talmud Chacham. Klal Yisrael, we don't tolerate that. We have, you know, they make fun of our noses. It's true, we do have noses, but it's not in size, it's in quality. Klal Yisrael has the ability to smell. Is this a person of quality? It's not a person of quality. And a person who is going to give himself over for the klal and he's not going to worry about his own covet, that is the individual that we want to choose. Moshe Rabbeinu, his mile was unav mikol adam. Didn't mean that he did what? The Chofetz Chaim was also another. What, he didn't know that he wrote the Mishnah Berurah? He didn't know, the Chofetz Chaim didn't know that he was a bucking shas and poiskin. Of course he knew that. But he was an onov. He was an onov anyway. He was ready to give over for the under. He didn't make himself out to be the ikker and everyone else was the tuffel. He was iber gegeben. He cared about Klal Yisrael. So, these are the heroes. Everyone needs, Klal Yisrael, we need people that we can look up to, just like we were Mitzvah, to be minded, a melech and Klal Yisrael, why, as Chazal say, so that we should have an understanding of our relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Rabbeinu Shalom is like a dugma, it's simply an example. The way that we relate to the king is what should be an example for us, the way that we have to relate to the Rabbeinu Shalom. That is our hero. That is the way, that's the people that we look up to. And how do we choose these individuals? We choose these individuals by how they act, by who they really are. And Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael is Yibench, we are blessed with Choshev Gedolim, with people that we can look up to and we can say, this is how I want to be. This is how I want my child to be. We can't sit back and say, oh, it's good that there's somebody else who's doing, you know, Chesed in Klal Yisrael. There's someone else who's learning Torah in Klal Yisrael. But we need to take a hero. The pshat in the hero is that we need to use that as an example for ourselves. It's not far away. We can be the same Baal Chesed. We can be the same Talmud Chacham. We are gebenched. We are blessed with incredible Talmud Chachamim and people who are heroes. Askanim in communities who their nights are days and who are their days are nights. It's amazing what people do. How many people are fed in these communities? And I know here from London because Baruch Hashem I hear. How many people are being fed without anybody else knowing that they are being fed? The individuals who go around to the simchas, after the simchas, and they collect all the leftover food. I heard that there was a simcha this week, that there were 100 families that were fed for Shabbos with the leftovers of a simcha. No, they do it on purpose. They make extra on purpose so that they should be able to have people eat from a Seudas Mitzvah. The case that I know, that's what they did. Eat from a Seudas Mitzvah wasn't because of the Baal Tashas in this case. I do agree with you that there may be times it is Baal Tashas. But even there are many heroes. The people of Zaka to me are incredible heroes. Those people in Eretz Yisrael who go out and they sit through the wreckage and blood and body parts to be able to make sure that each individual sees a kfur al pidin, sees a burial according to Chazal. Those people are heroes. They keep themselves over. The members of Hatzolah, we have heroes. And by the Goyim, they're also heroes. Goyim also have heroes. In America, you know, there was that great tragedy that we're still reeling from, which was the destruction of the World Trade Center. You had firemen, they had policemen that went in, they sacrificed themselves. It was amazing. The same day that Barbaro died, there was a guy, this horse that I was talking about died, there was an American fireman, policeman who also died. His name was Cesar or something or other. Why did he die? Because he developed this world, they call it the WTC cough. It's a lung ailment that the firemen, the policemen who went in to rescue all those people after the initial attack at the World Trade Center, so with all the dust, so they developed this cough and he was waiting for a lung transplant and he died while he was waiting. The same day, I looked up myself. Went on the internet and I looked up, there were over 1,000 comments on Barbaro. There are about 150 for Cesar. All of Hashem. Goyim have heroes also. But the purpose of our heroes is that we should be able to look and show that can be me as well. I can be the same Askin. I can be the same Talmud Chacham. I appreciate that there's a Tzelem Elokim. I appreciate that there's a relationship that I have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And by recognizing these people and emulating these people, that's how we shtei. Thank you very much for listening.